Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and this is Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSM podcast, that is Circle Sanctuary Radio podcast and network podcast. I always mess that up. CSMP. That's why I just keep a CSMP. And tonight we have a wonderful show. I have a great friend tonight, but let me not get ahead of myself. Yes, she's my friend, but also Toni Rotunda lives in Columbus, Ohio with her four babies. She spends most of her time gardening and renovating old houses. She has been a student of the craft for over 25 years and currently owns Raymond Buckland's collection of artifacts that make up the Buckland Museum of Witchcraft and Magic, located in Cleveland, Ohio. And of course, I'm very honored and very blessed to call her my friend. We met at BSG on 2019, about roughly 6-7 months. And Toni, I'm very, very happy that you're on the show tonight. And I know you're a little still sick, your voice is not all there. But thank you for doing the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good, Laura. That's nice to be on. I'm sorry. I do have a little bit of a sore throat that I've been getting over. I was trying to be careful, but I was just out west, and I think I got something on the plane. So I apologize.
Hey, no worries. Go ahead.
No, I'm just like taking all kinds of hauls, and I tried your remedy. I did try it, and I think actually it did help. I got almost to the bottom of the glass, and I couldn't drink anymore. But I do think it helped. I do think it helped.
It is a very disgusting remedy, but like every other remedy, for those who have a sore throat, is warm water with an egg white. Yes. It's ridiculously stinky.
Yeah.
It tastes like crap, but it covers your throat and soothes your throat and helps with the pain. But it is what it is. I really thank you for being on the show. And, we're going to make you talk now, but, I hope afterwards you can actually rest your throat and most importantly, get better, because there has to be a lot of pain associated with that.
Oh, sure.
But
I'll be good. I'll be good. So don't worry.
So we were chatting about this show. I always do a pre-interview with all my guests, and we were chatting about life and your trajectory as a pagan and what you've been doing in the craft. And then of course the question came of, did you actually meet Raymond? And after that, it just went down south because we couldn't stop talking about how wonderful he was as a person. And I'm sure you're filled with anecdotes about Raymond. But before we go full deeply into the museum and Raymond and all of that, how did you get into the craft?
I think it's always been there. As a young kid, I grew up in a household with, we had a nanny growing up, and that sounds a little more than what it actually was, but every morning I woke up and he was at the breakfast table with his tarot cards laid out, and between he and my mother, I think I was always, there was always a part of my life. So I grew up with it. Wasn't till much later. I think I was in college at OSU, and I ran into someone who was wearing a pentagram, and I was 18 years old. I didn't really know what it was, so I started asking questions, and they invited me to, and I'm in Columbus, Ohio now, but they invited me to something that I'd never heard of. It was called a witch's ball, and I know everyone has heard of those, but I was young, and that's where I got started, meeting quite a few other people, like-minded people. So I was around 17, 18 when I really got started.
And it's, to me, it's very fascinating that it was tarot what got you first, you know, into the craft. Because for a lot of people, it's tarot, it's the cards, it's the Ouija board or a seance or something like that, that they get started. So you've been practicing now for a number of years. And do you also read tarot?
I do. Not on a regular basis, not as much as I should, but yeah, I do have quite a few decks and have done it for a number of years.
It's amazing. When people ask me like, how long you've been, you don't want to know. It's too much and it's just fascinating. And I told you, I was going to tell people the anecdote of what happened when we first were going to do this show, because we met at PSG with the wonderful lady Tamara Von Forsum and Christopher Hughes and all of the wonderful people that were there at PSG last year. And then Tanya and I came up with a date to do this show. And something happened with her schedule. And what happened is she was going to be on my show. She was scheduled to be on Lunatic Mondays on Monday. And then I think next Tuesday, or no, it wasn't the same week, but it was like the week after, she was going to be on Circle Talk. And I'm like, wait a minute. We cannot do this. This is too close to the shows. And of course, it happens when people have a busy schedule, things like that. But I was laughing. I was laughing so hard because I was like, how can this happen? And then after that, remember one day you texted me like, are we doing a show tonight? And you kind of like forgot.
Right.
But I'm so glad we finally made it work. And I'm so glad that you're here tonight.
Me too.
And so tell us how was it to work with Raymond? Because you said, and I don't know if you want to go into this, how do you meet him? How did you start working with him?
Oh, sure. Sure. Well, it was the late 90s, I believe. Good friend of mine, Kat, owned a metaphysical store in Columbus, Ohio. It was called The Cat and the Cauldron. And I wandered into that store and we became really good friends. And she one day called me and said, hey, we're doing a seance. And we need 13 people, and we have 12, and you need to come. And I just thought, well, that's a little 13 people. You really don't need 13 people. I mean, really, like, spiritual talk to 12 people, it's okay. But she insisted, so I came. And so we're wandering around, and I'm meeting all the people that are getting ready to sit down at this seance, and this man walks up to me and says, hello, I'm Raymond Buckland. It's, you know, and I was embarrassed to say, back then I didn't really know who he was. I was young. But I'm glad, I'm very fortunate that I did not know who he was, because after that, and he's a fantastic medium, by the way. He sat down, and this was a table where there wasn't just one medium where, you know, a lot of seances, there's only one person that runs the table. There were quite a few mediums in this group, and he was fantastic. And so in learning that about him, I got to speak to him a lot more. And at this time, this was also when he really wasn't out in the public anymore. He kind of drifted away from, you know, the Wiccan community, the pagan gatherings, and he really was getting more into his writing, spending a lot more time at, you're familiar with Lilydale, the spiritualist community. He was spending more time there. And Kat, my friend Kat that owned the shop, had sent him a letter and introduced herself in several letters, I believe, and got him to come to her shop, and where he started to do more lectures and classes on Wicca, witchcraft. And so she kind of got him out again. And so he started to do expos here in Columbus, Ohio. We have, and all over Ohio, there's like the Universal Light Expo, and they're just really huge gatherings of authors and crafts and things like that. It's a very large gathering, and he started to bring out all of his books, and my job was to sit with Raymond Buckland and write up his receipts for the books that he sells. And while he talks to everybody would, he was always talking because there was always someone that knew him. And that's how I really got to know him. I was, yeah, a little embarrassed now that I didn't know who he was, but fortunate that I got to see another side of him. You know, sitting there, we got to talk about, everything. He was a musician. He built planes. You know, he just wasn't the father of American, you know, Wicca, but he did a lot of other things. He was amazing. He was quite the Renaissance man. So I was fortunate to meet him then before I really, you know, got into the, you know, the coven and all that. So yeah, that's how I met him. I met him at a seance. And so that was, late 90s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, this is funny, and I'm very fortunate to share that it's kind of what happened with me and Lady Tamara. You know, when we met,
uh-huh.
and I was like, I didn't know who she was. And
uh-huh.
I'm kind of embarrassed to recognize now that at the moment when I met her at PSG, I didn't know who she was. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, I'm having breakfast with this lady who is like an amazing
right.
pagan. And, you know, and what I realized, Tony, now being that I have been deeply in the pagan community for over 10 years here in Chicago, actively in Chicago, the higher they are, the closer to the ground that they are, you know.
Right.
The true pagan leaders are not people that are unreachable. They are very personal. They're very reachable. And I was sharing with you that it was probably 2011 or 2012 when we reached out to Raymond Buckland to do something for the magazine, for the e-zine El Caldero, which is an e-zine we did in Spanish, my colleague Christian Ortiz and myself. And I started translating work by Selena Fox and Starhawk and some other authors. And I reached out to him for permission to write, to translate an interview that he did in a different podcast. And I don't know if it was him or if it was somebody on his staff or if somebody else answered my emails, but it was amazing. It was warm and it was loving, caring, and, you know, with the seal of warmth. And of course that gentleman, like, you know, Englishman, gentleman tone. And it was just amazing. And I was not lucky enough to meet him in person, but everything I hear about him is that he was just a wonderful guy.
He was. And always had a good story, always had a joke. I'm glad that I got to meet him that way, because I feel that some of these people, like you had mentioned, for me, they would be unapproachable. because I would be too scared to talk to him. So I'm happy that I got to meet him that way, because otherwise I would have been like, no, I can't talk to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And how did you get involved into creating a museum with his artwork, or his artifacts?
Well, the museum has been ongoing since the early 60s. He actually, when he came to the United States, after being on the Isle of Man with Monique Wilson, so Gerald Gardner had a museum of his own there in the Witch's Mill. And when Ray was over there, he saw quite a few of the artifacts that Gerald had been collecting, and that inspired him to start a collection of his own. And so when he came back, he started a collection, and it comprised of, you know, a few things on a shelf in his basement, and that he would talk to people about, but it grew rapidly the more people that he met, and, you know, people donated to it. So it's been an ongoing thing since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It's moved around a bit, and it was down in New Orleans for some time, like 80s, 90s, and then that's kind of where I kind of came into play. I had a family reunion down there in New Orleans, and I was talking to Ray about it, and he had said, and I had heard about the museum. I wasn't super familiar with it. I didn't know what it contained, but I was telling him that I was going down there, and in New Orleans, New Orleans was one of his favorite places to go. And he had talked about Reverend Velvet Rays, who was the caretaker of his museum. And he asked me to get a hold of her to get a private tour of his museum. He was super excited about that. Well, a couple months went by, and I reached out to Reverend Velvet, and I didn't get a response. And so Ray would, you know, continue to ask, you know, have you talked to Velvet? Have you talked to Velvet? Well, I didn't get a response. And finally, I did have to tell him. I thought, I didn't know if she just didn't have time for me. I didn't know. But I finally had to tell him, actually, no, I have not heard back from her. So Ray contacted Reverend only to find out that she was actually very ill. She had developed something called Pick's disease, which was an accelerated form of dementia. And the family could no longer, you know, take care of the museum. And so I thought, well, that's really sad. But I said, and so the family had told him that, you know, we can't take care of it. So can we come and get these things or have them shipped? And I had told Ray through Kat that I'm going down there anyway. Like, I have a family reunion. So I'll bring, this was in 2015. I will go down there. I'll get a one-way ticket, and I will bring everything back up to you. And that way you can sort through it. Because at that time, there were a couple of people, I think, that wanted to buy it, but we had heard that they were going to buy it and sell it off. And prior to that, I won't even get into that. But, so the thought of the museum being dismantled and sold off was just not something that we could have happened. So we brought it back to Columbus, where I currently live. And so the idea was to bring it back to Ray, who is about an hour and a half from me. He lives in a town called Glenmont at the time. And he had plans to go back to San Diego. And he had said, Tony, if you want to get it, you can have it. So that's kind of where it happened. And this was way bigger than I expected. You know, I was not planning on this. But really, it was really just about saving the museum, saving the history. We could not have everything. sent all over. So it didn't matter. We brought it back and worked with Ray and trying to put the pieces back together, trying to recatalog and see what we had in storage. And so that took a year or so. So that's how it came to be up here. So in the meantime, I'm renovating houses and I'm super busy, and I have this very large collection of witchcraft artifacts in one of my rentals that I'm renovating, and I don't know what to do. And I'm still in contact with Ray on a daily basis, sending him pictures and getting stories. So we have a very up-to-date account of all of the artifacts. And so he and Tara were really helpful in helping, you know, put all those pieces together. So and then one day I got a letter from Ray, an email, that there's a guy in Cleveland who wants to come down to see the museum. And so that's how it all started. That's why it's up in Cleveland. Got a letter from this man, Stephen Intermill, and he wanted to see the collection. He wanted to see the museum. And I told Red, I was like, but does he know it's not really like a museum? We're still cataloging it? And he says, well, I don't know. Well, why don't you email him back? So I did. So Stephen and I corresponded for a while. And I told him that maybe you don't understand. It's just a lot of weird stuff in boxes right now. And he wrote back and said, I live for weird stuff in boxes. And so that was it. So Stephen came down and we became friends. And yeah, this whole thing, it's amazing. It would not have happened if it weren't for Stephen and his wife, Jillian. So yeah, so there we are.
It seems like a wonderful adventure. And usually when things are fantastic like that, they happen like that, you know, without being planned, without being set in stone. And you just go with the flow and, you know, you let, as people say nowadays, you let spirit move through you, and then boom, wonderful things happen.
No,
you know,
definitely. I have no doubt about that. Stephen and I talk about that all the time, how everything just fell right into place. So, So we introduced him to Ray and his wife, and we all of us together put this together. And in 2017, Stephen opened up the Raymond Buckland Witchcraft Museum in an area called Tremont at the time. Opened it up in a very, very small location because I was worried. I was worried. We were all worried how this was going to go over, a witchcraft museum. And Laura, there was a line down the block, around the block, around that corner to get in. And there was an hour, 2 hour wait to get in to the opening.
Wow.
I was there. Oh, it was amazing. The turnout was phenomenal. And Ray was just beside himself. We were so happy that he was able to see his legacy open and open to the public again. And, he was beside himself. And that evening, I promised him that it would just be a couple hours. It'll just be a couple hours. Oh, no, it was way after 10:30, 11 o'clock by the time he had left. And I was just apologizing, you know, but the next morning I called him and I said, I am so sorry. And tell Tara, I am so sorry. I did not mean to keep you out that late. And he said, Tony, I might have looked tired, but inside I was very happy. And, you know, so that was good to hear. And Tara,
that is fantastic.
She was very happy. Yeah.
Oh,
so, yeah.
What a great, bunch of anecdotes and memories. And you know, the thing that I love about what I'm doing, besides learning from all of you, my guests, my wonderful guests on my podcast, I was talking to Oberon back at PSG, and I was saying to him, you know, I love to record this, and I love that this will stay archived, and that future generations may stumble into one of Lunatic Monday's shows and listen to these wonderful anecdotes firsthand with you and Tara and you know, with Raymond, and because the power of your imagination, by listening to the scene, you created on your mind. So you just took me there. I was there. I was seeing his dire face and that smile on his face, and you know, the line and the people. This is just beautiful. It's priceless. There's no, you cannot attach a price on memories like this. And I thank you very much for sharing this. I want to propose to you a little break. Let us do a music break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about, like Steve says, weird artifacts and boxes. I want to know everything about those weird artifacts and boxes. But until then, I will put you on mute for a couple minutes. And we're going to listen to Spiral Rhythm with this song that is called I Am Pagan. Don't go anywhere. We come back with more here on Lunatic Monday.
I am pagan and I'm proud. I am pagan, gonna shout it loud. I am pagan, want the world to know that I follow the goddess cause she rocks my soul. Don't need your Bible, the wisdom of the crone. Don't need your heaven. Into this life I'm reborn. No Ten Commandments. One fills the bill. And in harm none do what you will. I am pagan and I'm proud. I am pagan. Gonna shout it loud.
And we're back here live on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos. My name is Laura Gonzalez. What we listened to just now is I Am Pagan with Spiral Rhythm Of course, amazing band. We love them. We love them a lot. They've been on Lunacy Bundles a bunch of times. So you can Google it and you can find them and you can listen to them on the interviews. And, of course, the Lunatic Mondays, anything can happen. So, of course, they sang live. The very first time I interviewed them, they were singing live. And I was crying because that's what I do. Anywho, I want to tell you very quickly about shows that are coming on the month of March. March will be the month of the one-year anniversary of CSMP. The Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, obviously, Circle Sanctuary radio station or podcast station. And I'm going to be doing a series of anniversary celebrations and stuff. And stay tuned because we're still putting pieces together for a little bit of a puzzle happening. But I can tell you for sure, March 2nd, we will have the first year anniversary of Lunatic Monday CSNP on Spanish. That will be March 2nd on Spanish. I'm going to have all my team or collaborators that have been on Lunatic Mondays in Español, Lunes Lunáticos, Gabriela Martinez, Monica Govin, Cristian Ortiz, and Ness Bosch are going to be here with us celebrating Lunes Lunáticos' first anniversary on CSNP. On March 9th, Stay tuned, because Selena Fox and yours truly will have a little bit of a surprise for you. Aha! You don't know what's going to happen. You're going to have to tune in. That's going to be March 9th, in English, obviously. And then on March 23rd, I will have Bob and Georgette Paxton chatting about PSG's new location for this year. And we're going to be talking about everything PSG, Bob and Georgette, Rites of Passage, and all the wonderful things that happen at PSG. And I say Rites of Passage because that is one of the things that I admire most about PSG. Of course, all the classes and everything that happens is wonderful, but all the rituals are just something else. And we need those rituals in the society. We need to mark events that are important, and so it's going to be a great show with Georgette and Bob. Oh my God, my brain is just tired. Anyway, for Paganos del Mundo, for those who follow Paganos del Mundo, you know Paganos del Mundo is a show that is also bilingual and it goes on Spanish and Portuguese. So if you speak Spanish or Portuguese, please tune in Paganos del Mundo. The first week, we will have Cristian Ortiz talking about the body's sacredness. And then on March 14th, Monica Govin will have the first of a series of shows talking about the signs and the horoscopes, but talking about that in depth. And this is wonderful because, of course, Monica Govin is an expert on astrology, and we are so happy to have her. And on March 21st, on Spring Equinox, we're going to have the anniversary show. It will be the first year celebration of Paganos del Mundo. I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that I will be producing a show that is bilingual with people speaking Spanish and people speaking Portuguese. So, yes, you will have all my sobbing stories about how happy we are with Paganos del Mundo and how we're serving people on all these continents with collaborators from four different continents. This is just amazing. And, of course, on March 28th, we will have Patricia Finclair, our collaborators, who brings the Brazilian aspect, the Portuguese aspect, to our show with wonderful interviews. And, of course, don't forget that we also have all of the other shows. Nature Mystic with Selena Fox. We have Circle Talk with Deborah Rose. We have Moon Magic with David and Janet Ewan. And then we have Nature Spirituality on Wednesdays with Selena Fox as well. So all of these shows, so far about 200 hours of podcasts that are there for you to listen, to download, to share. And on the page on Facebook, you can find all of that. CSM Podcast is the page on Facebook. or you can Google, you can try to find it as Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, and that is where you can find us. We're going to be celebrating in March 1 year anniversary. Isn't that amazing? Time just flies when you're having fun. And speaking of having fun, my dear Tony, are you there?
I'm here. Is my voice okay?
Your voice is okay? Fantastic.
I'm
trying. Yeah.
Okay.
We can hear you, and more importantly, we can feel the energy and the love that you're putting on this project. And and I don't know if you noticed, but the more you talk, the it's a little bit less. I don't know. It's like a warm stuff. Yeah.
Good.
So tell us about this wonderful artifacts. That is a funny question. I waited my whole life to say that. Tell us about this wonderful artifact. What all can you expect when you go to the Museum of Magic and Witchcraft?
Well, let's start with Gerald Gardner. Ray, through Monique Wilson, when he was over on the Isle of Man, had collected a few of Gerald Gardner's statues. He liked to make, he liked pottery. So there are some pieces from Gerald Gardner. There is Sybil Leek's Athame, her crystal ball. Some pieces from Monique Wilson. Patricia Crowther, which was another one of Gerald Gardner's high priestesses. Some things from Scott Cunningham, because Ray and Scott actually were very close in San Diego when they lived in California. If you're familiar with Big Blue, which most people are, the horned helmets is there. Lady Rowan's headdress is there. There's quite a few things. It's amazing. It is amazing. A lot of things that aren't on display, which will soon be, or correspondence letters between Ray and a lot of these people. Quite a few from Monique Wilson, and some of them are quite funny and you know, a little sad. There's one particular letter where Ray, you know, Monique wants Ray to come back to the Isle of Man, and they had to sell the family car in order to buy the tickets to get back. And it's things like that, you're like, you read it, and you're like, wow, he was very dedicated to sell the car in order to get back over there. Let's see, what else? Some ceremonial things from Aleister Crowley that were from Israel Regarde. Israel Regarde and Ray had corresponded for quite some time. Oh gosh, what else? Oh, just tons of things. That's kind of where we are now. They were, you know, when Ray had the museum, he actually had everything on display. And then Big Blue came out, and he had to put things in storage for a while because he was doing a lot of the lecture circuits. When a book comes out, You're busy. You're busy traveling a lot. So not a whole lot has been added to the collection since then. You know, there are a few odds and ends here and there. But since we have acquired the collection, you know, Laura, so much has happened in the last 40 years with the craft and people that are in it, that it's been a passion of mine to reach out to people to try to get donations to fill in everything that we've missed in all that time. And, you know, I've been speaking to a lot of, you know, practitioners and authors over the past couple years. And I tell Stephen, and I've told a few friends also, that I feel a little weird about asking, and I shouldn't. I should not feel weird. But it's almost like my aura kind of shrinks in when I ask for donations. But But the reception is so overwhelming. I had someone just the other day say, oh my gosh, you're kidding. You're kidding. I like Big Blue was my first book. I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for Ray. Of course, I would love to add to the collection, you know. And what we're asking is, you know, anything that represents you and your tradition. So many traditions have come out in the last 40 years. So much has changed, and we are trying to educate and help people associate with those things. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think it's quite important because history is being made every day with the pagan community and neo-pagan or pagan, whatever, whichever way you want to call it. And a lot of the traditions in the pagan community are oral traditions, or they are small traditions that just began with a person doing something or creating something. And I think it's really important to have that documented, you know. A little bit of, as I was telling you earlier, the work that I do on CSMP is kind of like being an archivist, you know. And I get why you feel that you shrink a little when you ask people, because when I was asking one of my guests not long ago, I was saying, we need to get their voices now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody lives forever. All of us are going to expire at one point or another. So we need to get the voices now. We need to get it from their mouth. We need to get those interviews while they're still around and archive it for the generations to come. And we don't have a Pope. We don't have a Vatican City. We don't have a holy book, because every book is holy in its own agency, you know. But having this museums and things being archived, I love it. And I love that you're doing the work and that you're putting the time to collect. And, you know, it's out there now. And if you know somebody or something that is that you would like to have at the museum, you know, correspond with Tony and Steve and make sure you reach out to each other and get it done. It needs to get done, you know. It really does.
Absolutely. I feel this sense of urgency to try to get all these things. And, you know, we were able to, you know, some of the newer artifacts that we have been able to add, Christopher Penzack donated his athame, his initiation athame.
Wow.
Lady Tamara donated quite a few items. She is a joy. She is a joy. And she told me to say you're helpful, by the way.
I love her.
She's so sweet. Janet Farrar and Gavin Bone, I met with them in Atlanta a couple years ago, and they donated their covens. It's a U chalice cup. And there was a little story with that, with Stuart Farrar and his passing, where they had put Stuart's ashes. They all went to a place where Stuart liked to do ritual, and they put his ashes in the cup, and they all poured Irish whiskey in, and they all kind of rotated the cup and drank from this, you know, chalice. And every artifact has a story. Everyone has a story.
Yeah.
Oberon Bell, he donated one of his staffs, Pathfinder, and just recently a wand. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And there's so much history and so many stories that go with it. Laura Tapas-Zakharov, she just donated some of her sigil print. She was there. And we're doing a lot of classes, too. Laura was there doing a sigil working class, and she had donated some of her original artwork. And so it's not just the artifacts, but it's, you know, pagan artwork as well. Selena, when I was down when I met you in PSG, Selena had donated, she and the Lady Liberty League had donated one of the Pentacle medals. from the Pentacle Quest. And it was years ago. I remember we were in our coven and we were all putting together letters for, you know, our representatives to try to get this passed. I remember that. And to see that, I just, not that we were a huge part of it, but we were. We all were a part of, you know, helping that to pass. So that was amazing. And we have, go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm thinking that just to hear about that, it makes my skin go, you know, I get goosebumps because I know how passionate she is. She and everyone that was involved in the Pentacle Quest. I came to meet Selena and know of Selena and Circle right after the Pentacle Quest. I've known them for like 9 years now, and it was just happening when I met them, and I know how passionate she's about it. And then to know that one of the medals is there, I'm like, what? That's amazing.
Yes.
I have to ask you another question because, see, this is how we debunked myths. You mentioned something in passing, and I want to talk about this because I want to have facts, and you got to give me facts right now.
I'll try. That might be Steven's department, but I will try.
What's up with Raymond Buckland and Scott Cunningham being friends when people swear that they were sworn enemies and that you couldn't do Wicca like Cunningham if you were doing Wicca like Buckland, and that they were like water and oil and didn't mix? This is all coming from the Latino pagan community, where it's kind of like, are you a Beatles or a Rolling Stone type of thing? It's kind of like that in the Latino community. So you're giving me this information. It's priceless. Please do tell.
No. As a matter of fact, they were very, very good friends. That's the first I've heard of that. We were actually looking at a picture, and it is on our website. There is a picture of Scott Cunningham and Ray, and they're at a birthday party together, and they've got hats on their heads. And no, they were very good friends. They were very good friends.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I had not heard that. Yeah. I was getting ready to tell you a super personal story, but yeah, I won't go there. But no.
You know, it's one of those things that they get lost in translation, I believe, because I was telling you in the pre-interview, a lot of people in Latin American countries, they have Big Blue, and they think that the only way to be is following Big Blue to the T. And there's so many years have passed since Raymond wrote that book. And things have evolved, like everything evolves. And religion is a living entity, and religion evolves as well. And to each their own, I say my favorite four magic words are you do you, boo. People should do what resonates with their soul. But in some Latin American communities, Spanish-speaking pagan communities, this is lost in translation. And so it's very much like I told you, you know, like, are you a Beatles or are you a Rolling Stones? You cannot follow Buckland's Wicca if you're following Cunningham's teachings on his book, to which it never made sense to me, but I'm in a privileged position being bilingual. I'm very privileged because I can see different points of view that a lot of people in Latin America are not. And right now, when you mentioned that they were friends, I'm like, wait, what? That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Good friends. And there was another person there. Her name is DeTracy Regula, and she's in a lot of those pictures as well. And no, they were all very, very good friends. Had dinner. Scott would cook. Tara would cook. I've heard lots of stories about how they had a wonderful friendship. No, yeah. That's the first I've heard of that. That's pretty interesting.
And you know what? Thank you for sharing this information with me, because you know I teach. So this is something that I'm adding to my teachings to people who don't know, and I never met them, but 6 degrees of separation, and there you go. You know, there's the information like, no, they didn't dislike each other. They were actually friends. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, but it's, you know, things move on their own pace, I guess. Speaking of wonderful clients and teaching, you mentioned that there is also classes and art that happens at the museum. Is there anything that you know is happening soon? Or first of all, before I forget, tell us, please, the address of the museum, the cost to get in, how can people find you?
We have a website. We do have a website, and it is bucklandmuseum.org. So you can look up on there. We're open pretty much regularly now. There were just a few days that we were closed. But you can find everything on there. Right now, the admission to get in, it's very reasonable. It's $8 to get in.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Facebook page and an Instagram as well. So if people are interested in that, and which a lot of people are. The address is 2155 Broadview Road. It's Cleveland, Ohio. If you're in that area, it's very easy to get to. As far as classes, there's a lot happening this year. But just here in the near future, we have Byron Ballard is coming in. She's coming in at the end of April, and she is going to be teaching a Southern Hoodoo and Folk Magic class, which I'm super excited about that. Super excited. And then in May, Estrella Taylor was actually, she was down at PSG as well. She just came out with a book, Intuitive Magic, and she's going to be teaching a class on that. So, and that's in the mm-hmm. beginning of May. So that's super exciting too. So got a lot going on, a lot I can't talk about just yet. But tons of things going on. It's amazing. I kind of envy Stephen's job. He's there every single day. And I've mentioned it to him a couple times where we get people that come in that they're still kind of in the broom closet, and they don't exactly know how to respond to us being so open, because we're very mm-hmm. open and loud about our teaching. And by the end of the tour, it's changed them, and you can see they're just really happy to be talking openly, because there's so many of us out there that are still closed and are afraid to talk about these things. Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
Yeah, totally.
So I hope we're doing a good job in giving the information and putting it out there. And there are so many people that have been in the craft for so long that finally get to see the artifacts that they've read about, that these people that they've been reading for years, they can see the tools that they've used. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I'm browsing, as we talk, and I'm browsing the website, and it's just wonderful. And I love that the name is so simple. You cannot forget bucklandmuseum.org. And there you can find directions. You can find exhibits, guided tours, the shop, of course, and the mm-hmm. hours, location, and everything. So, folks, go to bucklandmuseum.org, or on Facebook is also Buckland Museum, I think. Yeah, Buckland Museum of Witchcraft and Magic on Facebook. And, you know, keep in touch and go see them and say hi to Steve. And Steve is going to be like, how you know about me? And you tell him, oh, because Laura. And he's going to be like, oh, because I don't know Steve yet, but give Steve a hug for me. It's going to be awesome.
Well, you're
going
to have to make it up then.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, as we're talking, I'm in my mind is going like, maybe I should convince my husband to go to Cleveland, Ohio for a vacation. I don't drive funny. So I always depend on my husband for this type of things. But, hey, I sound so 1950s. I know. I just never learned to drive. In Mexico, only rich, super rich people drive. So, I never learned how
to
drive.
Well, I know where you live. I wouldn't want to drive there either. Oh.
Yeah. Then Chicago's traffic is something of, anyway. Look, I told you the time was going to fly without us even noticing. And here we are, 7:55. I am very thankful, Tony, for your friendship. Most of all, I'm very thankful for your friendship. But I'm also very thankful for you doing this show that we try and try and try so many times. We finally did it. We can check that off the bucket list. And I thank you so much for your friendship and for being so honest and open, talking about the museum. And, until we see each other again in person, please receive my love and my hugs, cyber hugs for now. And I leave you the microphone so you can say goodnight to your audience tonight.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. I hope I wasn't too boring.
Not at all.
But, yeah. Good night. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you to everyone that is collaborating and doing stuff with the Buckland Museum of Witchcraft and Magic. And thank you to every person who listens to the show, whether you listen live or listen later. Please remember, you can always download the shows. You can keep them on your personal archives, or you can share with your friends. But also, please come and give us a like on Facebook. We are CSN Podcast or Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. We also have a Facebook page for Lunatic Mondays, and we also have a Facebook page for Paganos del Mundo if you are bilingual or trilingual. And thank you to Lourdes Santiago, who was in the chat room chatting with me at the same time. Thank you to everyone who listened. We're going to say goodbye tonight with Celia Farran and the song Everyday Goddess. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, everybody. Good night. See you all on the next emission of Lunatic Mondays. And until then, never forget that you are loved. Good night.
Everyday Goddess.
She's a mother up to work. She is driving in her car. She's a goddess in the elevator, rising like a star. They say she's working like a man, but they don't understand. She's dancing with the goddess in her heart. She's that woman on the phone.
and thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.